Let's see, Psalm 68. We'll try to go through this one tonight. I've been holding off on it because there's a lot of verses here, but the application, I don't know how to necessarily make a whole lot of application to this entirety and the entirety of it. But it describes really the work of God in Israel and then the future work of the Lord. And so that's how we're not going to read all the verses right now. We'll just read a few and then make some comments, read a few more, make some more comments. But it's a psalm of God's work in Israel. And everything God does in this earth revolves around the nation of Israel. He said one time, salvation is of the Jews. The revelation of God is in the nation of Israel. The words of God came from Israel. Everything revolves around the nation that God created, that really the Lord Jesus Christ made and then entered into his own and all that kind of thing. But all of God's work revolves around that nation. And this is kind of just a running history and future of the work in Israel there. But let's pray, and we're just going to read a few verses, make comments, read some more verses, make some comments, and I really don't have necessarily a theme other than it's just the work of God in Israel. And that's the psalm. That's what it's describing. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about these things. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight we get what we need out of these verses and learn the Bible, learn what you said, and just learn what we need to learn in what we're reading in Psalm 68 here. Lord, thank you for a good day, door knocking and nursing home, and just a good day at church this morning, Sunday school and preaching and all that. It's been a really busy day, but a good day. And I pray folks would be refreshed for tomorrow, for those going back to work, and just be prepared for getting back into the week here. But pray you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll just start with the first few verses, and I'll tell you what he's going through. David is recording God's work in the nation, and we'll look at the first, seven verses maybe. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." It's just an incredible statement of God's power and what wickedness is to him. Just smoke that is driven away, wax being melted, incredible. And that presence of God, that thing's going to be, it's going to show up a few times here in this chapter. But that presence of God is something that is, when Jesus Christ, and we're not dealing with his work is particularly in these verses, but just the presence of God in general. When Jesus Christ resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit of God to be a present or a presence in a person to be present in a person that trusts Jesus Christ, that is God's blessing on that vessel. There was a time in Israel's history, and I won't show it to you, but when Israel, right after they got out of Egypt, they are getting ready to go inherit the promised land, but Moses has received the law and all that. He comes off the mountain, And he comes and he finds, you know, they've made a golden calf, and it's just a whole mess. And it just happens in a few weeks. And so what the Lord says, interestingly enough in that, and this deals with his presence, he says, essentially, you can go, Moses, go inherit the land, but I'm not going with you. And Moses says, if you don't go with us, what can we do? And so, of course, that's the prayer and the back and forth there. But the point was the presence of God. If the Lord is when his presence is put somewhere, that's his statement, or that's his recognition of that thing is blessed. It's going to be blessed by God. All right, verse 3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. All right, literally, all of these things, he's described the Lord bringing Israel out of Egypt. Literally, they're in bonds and chains. And now they're being brought out of Egypt. And what's going to happen is they're going to be brought out of Egypt and be given the law and Mount Sinai. And go to Mount Sinai, and it will smoke, and it will be earthquakes and trembling, and the Mount Sinai will just be on a fire. But they get out of Egypt. The Lord, of course, delivers them out of Egypt in the Red Sea, and they pass through the Red Sea and dry land, and then the waters cover the armies of Egypt. And then verse 7 says, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah. All right, so he prepares the wilderness for them. Verse 8, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. So now you're moving from Egypt to the wilderness to Sinai, and now they're going to get the law, they're going to get the testimony, they're going to get the Moses law and all that kind of thing on Sinai, and it's going to be as it's described in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, as it's described. This thing is just on fire. It's smoke. It's shaking. Nobody can come near it. Moses is the only one that comes near it, is told to come up Mount Sinai. And so here's a description of all that. God goes before in the wilderness, prepares them a way, and rains manna down on them, and gives them the law and all that kind of thing. Then verse 9. Thou, O God, didst send a plenteous rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. This is. I know we quote this or use it for Bible publication, things like that, but this is describing what happened at Sinai. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. One of the things that happened on Sinai, so God gives his word to Moses. That law comes down. Of course, you know, Moses ends up breaking the tables and all that kind of thing because of what's going on. The Lord rewrites the whole thing. And then year after year, Israel, they would make copies and copies and copies. Kings were supposed to make copies of the law for themselves, a personal copy of the law for themselves. And so I know, like I said, we use verse 11 to talk about publication of Bibles and things like that, it can apply to that. It's just the word of God being mass produced. But it started with Sinai there with the word of God. And he said, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Verse 12, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Kings and armies. So here's Israel given the law in Sinai, and then they start to move into the promised land under Moses and then Joshua after that. And they certain kings get destroyed along the way as they move in. Joshua particularly wipes out several kings. And by the time they get to a place called Jericho, a lady named Rahab says, "We've heard of you. We've heard of what God has done for you and how you killed this king and how you killed this king and the Lord made the path and all that kind of thing." And so you got verse 12, "Kings of armies did flee apace. She that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold." Verse 14, "When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in, yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever." All right, so now, real quickly, you go from Israel redeemed out of Egypt, given the law, going into the promised land, and finding Mount Zion, which David makes he wants to build a house for the Lord. He finds the hill, going to put it on Jerusalem and all that kind of thing. And so now he's describing that work with Israel there and the Lord finding the place he wants to put his tabernacle, temple. Verse 17, "The chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended." Now here's a verse that gets quoted based on the work of Jesus Christ. "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." That's one that gets quoted in Ephesians about what Jesus Christ does. He dies on the cross. He leads captivity captive. After the resurrection, he takes with him Old Testament saints. And that's something that is it's something you need to know about, something you need to understand, that Old Testament saints, they're waiting on redemption. They're waiting on salvation to be, or the righteous, should put it this way. They're waiting on the righteousness of God to be given to them. They're waiting on, here they are, you read about it in Luke 16. These Old Testament saints, they've been credited with some righteousness, but it's not sufficient righteousness to put them before God the Father or anything. And so they're waiting, you read it in Luke 16, you got Lazarus who's on one side of this place called paradise in the earth, and hell's over here, and Lazarus is talking to, a rich man's talking to Abraham and telling him to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and all that kind of stuff. But none of these folks are around the throne of God. They're waiting. The ones that are in paradise are waiting for the righteousness of God to appear in the earth so that there will be sufficient righteousness to allow them to enter into or be around the presence of God the Father. And so here they are waiting, and so Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And once he's dead, buried, and goes down into the earth and then resurrects, he takes with him, and you read about it in Matthew, which is pretty neat, that when Jesus Christ comes and resurrects, apparently he's not the only one that comes out. There's a bunch of Old Testament saints that come out. And what he's doing is he's taking all of these folks who are waiting on the righteousness of God to appear and to be credited to them, to be given to them. And, you know, now they've got it. And so here's the verse that gets quoted, verse 18. "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Now here's a great verse. If we just ignored everything else and just preached on this one, we could do that. But great verse here, verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Now this is, the way this is ordered is great. So you've got the history leading up to the work of Jesus Christ in verse 18. And then after you've got the ascension and leading captivity captive, you've got a verse that says in verse 19, now daily, daily, the Lord loadeth us with benefits. So all of these benefits are loaded up in Jesus Christ, and now they're distributed to anyone who will have them. And I'm making some spiritual application to all this stuff, but I think it's applied in some places in the New Testament. But it's a great verse. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Verse 20 says this, he that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. You know what that sounds like? A resurrection. I'll gather my folks, not from the sea, but from the depths of the sea. Isn't that something? That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. Wow, just warfare, bloody. But you know, all of these things are a result of the covenant that's made in Jesus Christ, the New Testament, all that stuff. Because of what's done, what Jesus Christ accomplishes, now judgment will be sure. In fact, Paul says it in Acts, that he says, because of what Jesus Christ has done, the resurrection has been accomplished. Now he has assured all men everywhere that there's coming a day of righteous judgment. And he assured them by the resurrection. The resurrection was the assurance that death is not going to be the end of this. And so he says over there in Acts, and I won't make you turn there, but he says over there in Acts, he says, by this he's assured, and he says, the former times God winked at. But now, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after all the work and the offering of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, he says, but now God commandeth men everywhere to repent. It's like there was a time where he just passed over the sin. He didn't address it the way he's going to address it in the future. He just passed over it, which was right along with, here's these Old Testament saints, they're waiting on the righteousness of God. They're not looking forward to the cross. No, nobody in the Old Testament's looking forward to the cross, none of that stuff. But they're looking for the righteousness of God, because that's what they need. And so here is in the Old Testament, God, the Bible says, he kind of passes over, he winks at it. He said, these times God, he winked at this thing, or he just kind of allowed it to happen. He says, but now it's serious business now, for sure. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, because the offering is so good at this point, the offering of forgiveness of sins is so good, and the removal of sin is so complete in Jesus Christ, now God commands men everywhere to repent. That's Acts, I think, I don't know, 18 or something like that. So you've got all these, I say all that because in the psalm, as we go on further, you're going to have all this judgment, which is future. But the reason the judgment's going to show up is because Jesus Christ has accomplished forforgiveness of sins by this point. And now there's no more winking at sin. Now it's, you get this right or else. So he says, go back over here to Psalm 68. Verse 24, they have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God, in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There's little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem, now you got a temple in Jerusalem, shall kings bring presents unto thee. All right, let me ask you something. David wrote this song. Was there a temple in Jerusalem when David wrote this psalm? No. This is future stuff. There's no temple. David's not looking at a temple in Jerusalem. Back over here, he says, verse 30, rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls. So he's fighting for his own people, particularly in Israel. It's all second coming stuff. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves, the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Now you got Gentiles coming in on this thing. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms. Remember, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to bring all kingdoms under the rule of God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of the holy place, thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. So the last part of this is blessings and the Lord Jesus Christ ministry. I mean, it really describes the work of Jesus Christ completely, and the history of Israel, and all of those things are kind of together, but it's a complete account of the past, the present, the future of Jesus Christ, the work of Israel in Israel, the nation, and all that kind of thing. And so, like I said, there's we could pick one out of these verses and maybe make some application with it, but that's the psalm. That's what it is about. It's a historical and future prophetic, and you'll find that is true of a lot of these psalms. A lot of these are prophetic. They've got future application to them. So, all right, that's the psalm. That's Psalm 68. Like I said, it's that's what it is. So I hope that's helpful to you. We just kind of read through it, but made a few comments, but hope.